pediatric orthopedic surgeon, which means I work with kids with musculoskeletal conditions. We deal with patients all the way from, you know, newborns till 18. Mm-hmm. 18 is the age that many institutions that work with children have used as a cutoff. Some use 19, some use 18. In Ontario, it seems to be 18. With respect to the issue of transition, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. age that we can treat patients until obviously is important. The Hospital for Sick Children is funded through the Ministry of Health, mm-hmm. which is, you know, requires them to have some kind of age threshold above which the expectation is that the person will transition into an adult facility. So 18 is that cutoff. Having said that, Sick Kids as an institution has been incredibly understanding and supportive of recognizing that that 18-year-old threshold is somewhat arbitrary. There are instances where it's only fair that a child continues to receive care at Sick Kids, and as long as I, the treating, in this case, surgeon or physician, can make a compelling argument for why that is in that child's best interest, or that patient's best interest, then they have taken my word for it and have given us permission to proceed. So that is what I see is one of the privileges of working in an institution like Sick Kids, that recognizes their overall responsibility to this population and understands that that 18 is a bit of a, you know, of a hard cutoff. But at the same time, you know, they can't treat everybody at any, you know, with a childhood onset condition, because, you know, they have a budget that they have to serve the population of children that they're mandated to serve, and there are limits to that. In turn, I have to be responsible when I make these decisions about who I'm, you know, I'm getting special permission to do an operation if they're 19 and rarely, you know, up to 21. There are patients that I'm treating who are over 18, but, you know, probably under 20. Again, because I've got special permission. So why do I even have to do that? Well, because, well, one might be that I have a long wait list, in which case it's completely unfair that someone who I had intended to treat before they were 18 now passes that age threshold. So that's not fair to them. That happens less and less, but it's still one possibility. The other possibility is that, you know, they are 18 for one reason or another. That's, you know, about the first time I'm actually seeing them, because they're from elsewhere or they've been referred to me late, or it's only become a problem at this stage, in which case I have to determine whether or not my adult orthopedic counterparts, if they can provide that care. And if the answer to that is no, I can make that case to Sick Kids. So those are the two circumstances by which I can, you know, justify seeking permission from the administration at Sick Kids to say, look, the child is better served here. This is what speaks to the challenge of transitioning from a children's institution to the adult world. And obviously that's different for different conditions, but in general, many of the conditions that we treat, you know, are childhood onset conditions. In other words, they're chronic conditions. Many of them don't have cures, so the patient is living with this condition for the rest of their lives. They have their onset in childhood, but the consequences follow them throughout their life. And the adult orthopedic surgeons or adult practitioners of different kinds either don't have the experience or the expertise or the willingness to take on these complex patients, simply because they see very little of them and know very little about how to look after them, because these conditions are relatively infrequent and are of childhood onset. You know, to me, this is what I subspecialize in, so I see a lot that's not a problem, and I'm trained and have the skill set to look at these patients, and I work with providers from multiple disciplines. So this is not just an orthopedic problem, but, you know, we work with development pediatricians, we work with rehab doctors, we work with physiotherapists. So for a condition like cerebral palsy, the care of the child is not limited to one discipline, but it's multidisciplinary. Imagine having to replicate that kind of multidisciplinary care for adults with cerebral palsy, when adult providers have, you know, this would be such a tiny part of what they do, and since they have very little experience with this population, let alone the possibility to, it's fine for me to find ways to work in a multidisciplinary setting because I'm focusing on this population. And there's plenty for me to do. But in the adult world, they have to do adult onset things, which are very common, much more common than cerebral palsy. You know, whether it's arthritis, for which orthopedic surgeons have to do hip replacements or knee replacements, or it's trauma, you know, adult trauma. Those are common things that occupy most orthopedic surgeons' time. So that's what they focus on. So in their practice, if they see somebody with cerebral palsy, that will be such a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of what they see or do that it wouldn't justify the effort required to work in a multidisciplinary setting to look after them. So unless there was an adult provider who decided that she or he wanted to devote their career to looking after this population, then the extra, you know, that it would make sense because they could focus on this population and there would be sufficient volume to generate, you know, to justify them having the additional training and which will give them the experience and the expertise. But in the current setup, those people don't exist. There aren't subspecialists like me. I don't have adult counterparts who subspecialize in these conditions. So that's just orthopedics. Now, these kids have other medical problems that are looked after by developed pediatricians, by rehab doctors, and so on. So the same issues apply to all the other disciplines that these kids encounter. Okay, and I'm just talking about cerebral palsy. There are lots of childhood onset conditions that are very complex, and because of that complexity, people subspecialize to look after those complex kids. But when those complex kids become adults, if there aren't adult doctors who have subspecialized to look after them, then there's a bit of a vacuum there. So that's the problem. So what are the potential solutions? Well, one is, you know, our hope is that before they're 18 or 19, you try and take care of all of the big things that they're likely to require that may require big operations and so on. And if you do that, then maybe they won't need those in the future. So that's one strategy. However, adults with CP are like any other people. Mm-hmm. They also get problems with blood pressure or heart attacks or strokes or, you know, they get all the diabetes. They can get all the kinds of illnesses or conditions that other adults, you know, anybody can get. So when a family doctor sees someone with cerebral palsy, again, if they don't have much experience or expertise in cerebral palsy, even though the problem that the person is coming to them for is something that they have the expertise to deal with, maybe it's high blood pressure, maybe it's diabetes, maybe it's some other simple medical problem, the fact that the person has cerebral palsy makes it seem like it's much more complicated than it might be. So because they don't understand the population as well. So those are the kinds of challenges that patients with cerebral palsy face. So in Toronto, we have a transitional program. So what we do is when they're about 15 or 16, we send these kids to a transitional clinic. It's an outpatient clinic that's called the Lifespan Clinic. This is at Holland Bloorview, which is a children's rehabilitation hospital. In fact, all kids that I see with cerebral palsy, or most of them, I see at Holland Bloorview, not at SickKids. So at Holland Bloorview, they have a lifespan clinic. So when patients reach that age of about 15 or 16, they're referred to the lifespan clinic so that they can be prepared, or their parents can be prepared, for what's coming in the next, you know, 3 or 4 years' time. And part of that is medical, and part of that is a transition into the adult world. So it's to do with, you know, career counseling and occupational health and so on, you know, those sorts of education, those sorts of things. But a lot of it is planning for their health needs. So what typically gets done is these patients are then referred on to the rehab specialists who look after adults. So there is another set of medical subspecialty called physiatry. The physiatry or rehab medicine is a subspecialty, is a discipline of medicine where the doctors, their practice is devoted to to the rehabilitation needs for various patient populations. So that could be, you know, to look after the rehabilitation needs of patients who've had strokes. But within physiatry or rehab medicine, some devote their attention to rehab needs of children's conditions. So this is one discipline where we think there's a great opportunity for them, because during that training they're exposed to both children and adults, that maybe this discipline of doctors will be a good place to send our patients when they transition to adulthood. And indeed, that's what we do. So a lot of our patients who in that lifespan clinic get referred to the adult rehab doctors. These teams of doctors can then oversee the care of people with cerebral palsy, but they are not surgeons. They don't do operations. So there's only a certain limited set of things that they can do that these patients might need. But they are good managers of the healthcare needs of these patients. And then if the system is working, they can make arrangements to say, okay, you've got a skin problem. Here's a dermatologist that we know of who's willing to see patients with cerebral palsy and might be able to help you. But let's say they need an operation. Their hips or spine, which was not a problem when they were 18, suddenly becomes a problem when they're 19 and 20 or in their early 20s. And now they're too old to be operated on as sick kids. Who's going to look after their needs at that time? If there are no orthopedic surgeons who are comfortable enough to offer them operations because they simply are unfamiliar with, you know, the population. They're not very familiar with what cerebral palsy is, how complicated it might be, and how that might affect what they do for them in terms of how those operations, will they work or not. So they don't have that experience or expertise. So patients feel they're being sort of abandoned or are left wondering where to seek their care. So the way I deal with that situation is that every patient who graduates from my clinic, you know, they're 18 or 19, and that's the last time I'm going to see them. I will have had conversations in the last, you know, in the last two or three visits to prepare them for that eventuality, that someday they're going to transition out of my clinic. But when that date comes, they will get my card, which they already have, my contact information, and a reassurance from me that they can contact me at any time in the future.